And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, January 19th, 2019. It is Season 13, Episode 3, and I'm Scott.
I'm RJ.
And I'm Matt.
And welcome to the show, everyone. Do this very, very quickly, and then we'll get back into it to tell you a few things. All right, with that done and out of the way. So, if you are listening on the radio, we might be interrupted from time to time. Either by Matt's microphone.
Yes.
Or we could be.
More importantly.
Yeah, we could also be interrupted by the emergency broadcast system.
Yeah.
We're having some horrible weather here.
Yep.
Or at least we were having it. I don't know if it's sort of passing now out or.
I don't know. We lost the church and they were talking about 80 something mile an hour winds as it was going.
That was in Wetumpka. Wetumpka got hit very, very hard. Actually, did get hit by a tornado. But as far as here at the station, I remember I was hearing rain, and
nothing.
Yeah, I don't hear it anymore.
That was tapering off when I came in.
Yeah,
and Matt Jersey, it was kind of just drizzling by the time you got here, wasn't it?
All throughout today, it's been off and on.
Yeah,
you know, it slows down, it picks up.
And it does. I know before I left home, the tornado sirens were going off there, and it put me a little late to get in. So you might from time to time hear an interruption from that. You might from time to time hear an interruption from downstairs with our weather network and Rich Thomas breaking in from time to time. Who you hear before we come on the show and in between our breaks, you hear him do our weather. Well, we also can go live on all 8 stations with him, and you would be hearing that. For those of you listening on Twitch, you're not going to hear any difference. It will never be interrupted for you. For those of you listening on the stream, it will be interrupted for you. But those of you who listen on Twitch, you won't be interrupted with this. So, you know, whichever way you want to go, it's no big deal. If you would like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. You can check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at ingamechat. You can also find us on Facebook there as well. You can email us, everyone at ingamechat.net. We're streaming right now, again, like I said, on Twitch. If you go to twitch.tv and then you type in ingamechat in the search bar, I-N-G-A-M-E, chat, you'll be able to find us and watch us live while we broadcast. You can join us in the chat room as well. Live while we broadcast. It is PAX weekend, and it's where I was supposed to be, but I am not. It is where Sarah is at, and also I am not.
Did she go?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did she not go?
Last I heard, she was saying she might have to cancel.
Oh, really?
Pupper issues.
I don't know.
With her dog, so I didn't want to.
Message real quick and find out. Because I'm curious now.
Yeah.
You know, I saw her posting on, like, Facebook and stuff, and I thought, yeah, there's no, like, hey, here I am doing the thing. It was all this other stuff, and I was like, did you go? Sending her a message. Did you go? I'm very, very curious.
Yeah, PAX South is going on right now.
It is.
You know who's probably not having a tornado?
San Antonio.
Although I think they are supposed to be having bad weather this weekend.
Very possible. I know when I was there last year, the day I left on a Monday, and then the very next day it snowed there. So
crazy.
Yeah, very. Very, very crazy weather for them to have snow in San Antonio.
Yeah, it's just not a place they think of snowy.
Mm-mm,
yeah.
Not at all. So,
like it is here.
Right. I think maybe some flurries tonight, but nothing big or nothing that's going to shut down the city. So please don't start getting all frantic. I would be more concerned about what's going on right now rather than what'd be happening later. So, you know, to go into what we've played, I would like to tell you that I played a bunch of stuff, but I didn't. I logged on to Destiny to turn in my clan bounties so I could move our clan further along. And then I did one forge, and an exotic dropped for me. The new exotic from the forge dropped for me while I was doing that, which is what I was intended on doing anyway, was to, because it only drops when you're forging a weapon frame, and you can only forge 2 weapon frames per week that would possibly drop that weapon. So I forged my first one. It dropped on the first one. And that is it. I hopped over to my alt. I turned in his clan bounties for the week again. I have not done anything else with Destiny. Will I do more? It's Iron Banner week. I might play some tonight. I do new. I did get on to Assassin's Creed Odyssey through the stream on Monday. I wanted to make sure and check that my Uplay account time played was over an hour, because apparently that's what it's based on. Because my in-game save said I had an hour and 25 minutes, but I was reading online where people were seeing that nothing was accumulating in their Uplay account. And so they were trying to figure out why that was. I logged into my Uplay account. It says, not only do I have an hour and 25 minutes of gameplay time, it said I had 2 hours and some odd minutes of gameplay time for my Uplay account.
Now, in Uplay itself, it said that?
Yes. Yeah, not in the Uplay. No. Not in the
Uplay. In the Project Stream.
No, I had to go to... Uplay, the Uplay website. The app, the Uplay application on my PC did not show that I have the game whatsoever.
Neither did mine. That's why I was curious about it.
But when I go to Uplay online or Uplay the account online on through a website, I think it's the Ubisoft Club or something like that that I could go to. When I went there, it brought up Assassin's Creed Odyssey and said, hey, you've spent blah, 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 blah. Lots of time. You've traveled this far. You've done this. I thought, okay, that's better. That's what I wanted to see. I'm curious, though, now, if you're going to... Are you checking... Is that what you're checking on right now? What I'm curious about is this is going to accumulate your PlayStation time and your stream time?
I doubt it.
You'll know, I guess, if it lists, like, a bunch of time spent.
Yeah. But, because I think they give you an email with your code later on. You know, I was reading somewhere that said, like, you'll receive an email later on. Because I looked at my Uplay account, and I'm like, why does it not show in here? So...
Yeah, it's not going to be in your in the Uplay application on your PC. You're going to need to go online and check your account there through the web. And from what I understand...
Project Stream, it does show here. All right, good.
Show that? Good.
Well, it shows that I played it... Last played 6 days ago.
Does it give you any kind of amount spent?
Community
time
rewards.
Spent.
Statistics. Oh, statistics? Looking through time. So go ahead and keep talking.
I'm just seeing what you're... I'm watching what you're doing.
Time played 1 hour exactly.
Oh.
1 hour exactly and 0 minutes.
What is your game save? Did you look at your game? Now, you can't look at your game save from here, but do you remember what your game save said?
Like an hour and a half.
Wow. See, that's what I don't understand.
So, yeah.
What is it?
1 hour right there.
Yeah.
Although, I don't know if you can see
it. I might want to go look and see if that's... Because now that it's over with, I'm curious as to what
time
that might
played.
Say.
Oh, hey, you beat me with 2 hours exactly.
See, it should have been 2 hours.
I wonder if it rounds it down.
Rounds up or rounds down.
Because me and Dennis both have 1 hour exactly. You have 2 hours exactly. So that's what I'm wondering.
That
I'm guessing it rounds down.
Probably one thing they count is
to the
hours.
Nearest hour.
Yeah, so it just counts hours, not minutes.
Yeah,
just hours.
That must be it then.
So, I mean, I hope that I get like the free who's a whatsies, you know, from this.
The free who's a whatsies. Yeah, I would like that. I hope that you get that as well.
Because you know, free games are always nice.
Yeah, free who's a whatsies. Those are good. I'll have to figure out how to get into my Uplay Club. But if you're seeing that I have 2 hours,
yes.
That's good. And I'm glad. Because I haven't played anything else. So that's it, you know? I really haven't played a single thing. I haven't played a video game all week long. I really haven't.
There are weeks like that. We've all had weeks like that.
Yeah.
There are. I just kind of hate that, though. I was like, you should have played something. What were you doing? Well, I was coming home and eating dinner and then passing out on the bed while I was watching Frasier.
Were you the one that put the Marble Olympics, or was that
the what?
Jeremy in the chat like a week or so ago?
That was Jeremy.
Oh my God, he's got me hooked on that.
Yeah,
I've been watching that.
That was Jeremy, and by the time it would come up to like, by the time I would think about getting up to play anything, it'd be like 7 or 7:30. And by I know the other situation that I had. I had some mouth problems. Yes, I have gum disease.
Well, sure. That's not good.
No, it's not. Hurt like hell.
Yeah.
Around, it started hurting me Thursday. Mm-hmm. It hurt me Thursday, and I thought, what is it? What is going on here?
Big red.
And you're like, what is the problem? It was my bottom teeth. So what is wrong? And I thought, probably go away. Did not. You know, Monday, I decided to call the dentist to make an appointment. They can't take me until Friday, but, you know, I'm looking here, and even just the lightest pressure in my gums would start bleeding a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was hard to brush and that sort of thing. Eventually.
What, you need a floss more or something?
Well, I took fantastic advice and started flossing. And so once I started flossing and brushing at night and in the morning, because I was only really doing it in the morning. Once I started flossing and brushing at night and in the morning, things got very better, or got a lot better very quickly.
Oh, yeah.
I was actually surprised at how better things got, how fast it took.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to take care of your teeth, man.
Well, it got bad. But anyway, I was concerned about that. But mostly, that was it. I'd put myself into a food coma at about 5 in the afternoon, fall asleep. And then I would look at the time and think, maybe should I play some? And then I was like, no. It's late now. I should probably go take care of my teeth, get ready for bed, because I go to bed pretty early. I haven't played anything. Mm. I haven't played anything. I want to play Spider-Man. I want to play Detroit, And I think that my time spent in Destiny here is going to fall off until the next expansion, because I've done everything. I got the exotic. I did the exotic quest and got that taken care of. I've done, I have very little interest in Iron Banner. I say this now, and I might spend all day of tomorrow playing Iron Banner, but, I know, right?
No, well, the only reason for me, Iron Banner, is those shaders. The equipment is just meh to me.
The equipment's meh, but it does reward you powerful gear when you complete the bounties for Iron Banner. Mm-hmm. And it's a grind to do that.
Yeah.
But it will bring you up. However, I don't need that anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, you're at the point now you've done everything, so you can just veer off to something else.
Right now, I would only be chasing some triumphs that they have.
Or helping clan members.
Yeah. That's really the only thing that I would be doing if I took part in it. So I'm thinking maybe, for once, why not take a break from that, sit back, and instead of spending your Sunday all day playing Destiny and doing laundry, why don't you play your console games and do laundry? Play Spider-Man. Get back into Red Dead, for God's sakes. You haven't touched that in, months, man.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe turn that around and do something like that. What did I pick up recently? The humble stuff that I've picked up. I almost got Elite Dangerous.
I thought you had Elite.
No, I don't have Elite.
No, that's right. It's the other schmoes that have it.
Yeah, everybody else does. I don't.
How do you feel about space trucking or bounty hunting or...
Excuse me. It didn't matter what I thought about it because the price was about $15 for...
On the PC?
Yeah, it was through Humble.
Okay.
It was $15 for Elite Dangerous, Horizons, and then some other expansion too.
Okay.
Because
they're up to Chapter 4 right now, Beyond.
Yeah, well, I thought, wow, the $15 for all that should be... That's nice.
A lot less than I paid for it.
To get me in there.
Yeah.
No response yet from Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
To know that if she went or if she didn't. Right. Which may mean that she's there. Maybe she's doing
I hope
thing.
So.
I don't know. Yes, Lethal Migraine says Destiny's not a game, so you haven't played anything. I agree. Red Dead isn't any good. Seems like it'd be right up your alley, just like Destiny. I know, but I haven't played it, so maybe I'm coming around, Lethal.
But
the only thing I'm hearing bad about Red Dead is online right now.
That's I did not bad. Like that.
Yeah.
I won't touch online.
Story-wise, the story mode, though, is
I enjoy
excellent.
It.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I got a couple of other, I got Forza Horizon that I haven't played and a couple of other things. So
Detroit.
Yeah, we all got that backlist.
Yep.
A ridiculous amount of stuff on our backlist.
That was me, which is nothing. Well, I hope you guys pulled my slack. RJ, what about you?
Pretty much more the same. More the same, really. I was playing a lot of GTA Online. I got griefed again by someone during a counterfeit cash sale. I don't think a lot of people who are new to GTA Online, it being five or six years old at this point. I'm not sure. But a lot of new players.
Yeah, I guess it is. Yeah. You just don't think about that.
Yeah, a lot of new players are coming in there and like doing destroying people's product when they're on sales. And from what I gather, I think they get like maybe $2,000 or $3,000 from destroying that product. But the product they destroyed, in my case, I was selling 50,000 plus worth of in-game currency, making the sale. And this guy only gets like maybe $2,000 or $3,000 from blowing my stuff up. So it's not really much of a, all it does is hurt my sales and just benefit him slowly. Because you can just do nothing and get $2,000 for being a good sport, as they call it. I mean, when they realize that blowing up people's product is not going to help them in the long run, it'll be a lot better. But Rockstar being where they are, they just advertise all over the place, blow up people's stuff and get cash and RP.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they see. Oh, just go out and blow up people's stuff and get cash in our people. You know, if you just do a little grinding and get your own businesses up and running, yeah, you get a heck of a lot more cash in RP than as opposed to blowing people's stuff up. So the only benefit really to griefing people like that is just basically to troll people and tick folks off. But that can't backfire on you because people have crews at this point, and they'll do everything they can to target you specifically because your name and stuff is still on there, and it can be picked up and messaged easily from anybody out there. Outside of that, a little bit more of Street Fighter V, playing those ESL tournaments, you know, gets me a lot of a little bit of tournament experience, playing against people, things of that nature. Lets me meet people and things like that, so I'm playing that a lot more. Did a little bit of a Soul Calibur 6 as well. I saw they put a patch out, did a little updating and things like that, balancing issues between the characters and everything like that. So I gave that a little bit of a try. I also picked up from the PlayStation Store, they had it on sale, Speedrunners.
Nice.
They put that up. So I got the $5 deluxe bundle.
Okay.
It's a game and some other things that came with it. So $5 to pick that up.
Is that still on sale?
It should still be on sale.
It's the flash sale, I think.
Yeah, flash sale. $5. $5 for the deluxe version of Speedrunners on PSN right now.
Wow.
I might grab that just so that, because I have it on Xbox, but nobody's playing. Mm-hmm. So I might pick it up on PS4.
I don't know if anyone's playing it on PlayStation either, but let's say $5. And
but you've got it, so at least you and I can play.
Yeah, and I still remember the fun we had up in here after the
show. Oh, I loved it.
Doing that.
Loved playing me some Speedrunners.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't played that in a long time. Mm-hmm. So
that's a list then.
Exactly.
Yep.
I need to go and pick up all my free games, actually, because we're past the 15th. So I should pick up my games for Xbox. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I picked up the games this month for PlayStation. Apparently, the only time I do this is actually when we're on the show.
Yeah. They're all right, the PlayStation ones. Steep, meh.
I'm still going to get them. I always do.
Yeah.
It's never not a thing that I don't do. So, Matt, what have you played?
So for all my
you've got some stuff to talk about.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you got the VR kit and you got all that stuff. Let's not go into too many details yet. I'd love to save that.
Is this going to be like Hitman?
Well, what do you mean? Oh, like we're never going to get to it? No. I'm just saying we're coming up on a break. You've got about 7 minutes. Now you've got 6.
Yeah.
You've got 6 minutes.
I can.
So give me a speed run of titles, and then we'll do a deep dive coming up after the break.
So I was going to tell to all my loyal fans in the chat room, unfortunately, I'm not going to be in there today because my tablet is in my car, which is at the dealership. My transmission's going out, but it's under warranty, so yay. Yeah. I can't communicate with all my friends on the chat. But as far as what I've been playing, obviously Assassin's Creed Odyssey, doing more of that. I've been rocking it on the PS4. You know, did a little bit, on the PC to get to an hour. But got to Ace Combat 7, and it came with a free copy of Ace Combat 5. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, so I got like 2 Ace Combats.
Did you get a special edition of that game?
I just pre-ordered it, no.
Okay, because the steelbook looks really nice.
I did not get... No, I got the digital copy.
Wait, so you got Ace Combat 7. Mm-hmm. And they gave you 5 for free.
Yes.
What happened to 6? Why?
6
why
is 6? On the Xbox.
Xbox exclusive?
Well, no, it was... the Xbox got 6, the PlayStation got 5.
Hmm. Okay. Any reasoning behind that, or just...
Give one to one, give one to the other?
Okay.
That'd be my guess. Seeing how I already played 6 on the Xbox, I'm okay with not getting it there and getting 5, which I have not played.
Yeah, just never seen that before because I was thinking it'd be the same across the board. But
no,
you know, 5 different. For one, 6 for the other. Okay.
Yeah, and the PC one doesn't come out until next month. Mm. I have not tried the VR with Ace Combat yet.
That's because it's still hooked up to your...
It is hooked up to my PC.
Yeah.
I did find a way to do that. Played more Elite Dangerous. Kevin and I are starting to mine. We did the community goal for last week, which was just the typical fighting combat bounties and everything. You go into a conflict zone. You declare your allegiance to one party and you fight the other guys. Mm-hmm. It's different than the bounty hunting when you're actually like hunting for, you know, criminal bounties. But this is more like, you know, two faction wars. Mm. We didn't do too much of it, but we were able to get to tier 5 and 50%. So I made 7 mil out of that fight, you know, which was nice. We were going to do this this week's community goal, but it's like way far away. So instead we decided to get new ships and start mining because they updated the mining in the game, the mechanics. So I had to go back and buy an Asp Explorer, which I had sold to get my new ship. So I bought one again.
Yeah.
But whatever. But I have it just loaded out just for mining, and we're trying to figure out the mechanics for it because it's different.
Where do you keep your ships in that game?
We have a home port that we go to, but when you go, like, say, I have four ships right now, right? And so if I have one that is just incredibly long jump range. That's my Explorer. Okay. So if we know that, like, hey, there's going to be a community goal, like, you know, far enough away, I'll just use my Explorer, which has, like, I think about, like, 65 light-year jump range, you know, per jump.
Yeah.
So, and I'll take that and just, you know, I'll get there. Then once I get to the system and we get to, like, a docking station, you could actually transfer your ship from one station to another.
Okay.
It costs some money, and, like, depending on the ship, so, like, when I transferred my my fighter from where our home station is at Baker Holdings to where we were at, it was 2 mil to transfer it because it's all decked out. It's got like a lot of weapons and shields and all that kind of stuff. Okay. But when I transferred my Explorer, it was only like, you know, a couple hundred thousand.
Okay.
So
the more expensive the ship, the more it costs to
get it. Yes, the more expensive your buyback for your ship and everything for the insurance, the more it's going to cost to transfer it. Mm-hmm. So you could transfer your ships from, you know, from whatever, and then, like, if you have them scattered across, you could always, you know, recall them and, like, transfer them back to your home station and just pay the money. Same with if you buy components and you're at a different station and you, like, you're outfitting your ship and, you know, you store the components instead of selling them. When you get back to your home station, you could transfer those components back to, like, one central location.
Okay.
And that's what we like to do. We like to have things, like, in a central location.
Okay.
But, yeah, we're trying to figure out the mining. It's different. You could actually, like, break open, like the Ishimura, like, planet cracking an asteroid.
Yeah.
You know, like, you shoot, like, you know, different explosive charges at it and everything, and then just it breaks it open, and then you start scooping out the tasty inner mining marrow, I guess.
The materials you get out of there.
It depends. I went to one little area, and I got some void opals, which is the new game MacGuffin, I guess, whatever, like, you know, for the mining that you could get.
Some new material.
One of the new materials for it, and I only had, I think, 4 tons of it, but I found a place where I could sell it for $1 million per ton. So I made, like, you know, 4 mil. I mean, a little over 4 mil for just that one little mine. It was just one asteroid that I did just as a lark to see, like, how do I do this?
Okay.
So tonight we're going to get on again, and I think we're going to be doing some more mining just to figure that out.
A little grinding. Okay.
All yeah.
Right. Cool.
Well, we'll go into your time with the PSVR on your PC.
Yes.
Coming up in just a little bit. There is no theme this week for the music.
Theme is no theme.
All right, there isn't. Yeah, that's what I should do. Trick question. There was none. So this one, these are all games that I haven't used before, though, I believe.
Oh.
It's getting tougher and tougher to figure out what I have used and what I haven't. So anyway, this is from a game called Slay the Spire.
Never heard of it? Hey.
I've heard of it. Never played it.
So this theme will be games we never played.
Yeah, well,
Possibly.
That's a big list.
Yeah, no, that falls into the... I think they all fall into the list of games I haven't played. Slay the Spire. This track is called City. We will be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chats for Saturday the 19th of January. I'm Scott along with RJ and Matt. Did I hear a bod going on
you
in there?
Did. I love that sound. I will never forget that sound.
That had to come from the track we're listening to. What game is this from?
Is it like Dot Hack or?
No.
I figured it would be something like that.
This too chippy for Dot Hack. This is another game that I haven't played. Awesome Knots. Called One Happy Galaxy.
Okay, all right, just some interesting sound that the composer thought would sound good in this track.
Then, yeah, it sounds pretty. I didn't even hear that when I was listening to it.
That right there was the sound of my 90s.
I'm sorry, I kind of stuck out as soon as I heard it.
Oh no,
first thing I locked onto when I heard it.
People our age will never forget that sound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was trying to find music for this because somebody was playing it or got some achievements on it or something like that. And there was like so-and-so's theme, because there's a lot of characters apparently in this game. But all the themes for every character is a vocal theme for that character.
Oh.
Mentioning the character's name and everything else. So, except for this track.
It sounded like it was going to do it again.
Yeah, it did. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's Awesome Knots for you. All right, so Matt, tell us about your foray into
virtual reality.
Well, you've done virtual reality already.
So, I forgot to mention that I also got for like super cheap, it's like $5 on the PS4, Wipeout Collection.
Right,
and it's got Omega,
Wipeout,
and it's Invade.
Wipeout HD Collection.
Yeah, it has three different games in it.
Okay,
And I tried erasing that in the VR, and it was pretty crazy.
I'm trying to think the ones up. I'm trying to think if I picked that up. I think I did.
And I was like, $5. I was like, you know what? Because I was looking
through. Not, I should.
I was looking through for like VR games because I was trying to, you know, think about like maybe I could get Tetris Effect just because I love me some Tetris and that would be fun.
Yeah.
Oh, and speaking of awesome knots and just the word awesome, the Awesome Games Done Quick charity event raised $2,395,553. They surpassed last year's total by $100,000.
Wow.
Nice. Nice.
It is all going to go to the Prevent Cancer Foundation. Okay. So, good job on everybody that participated in Awesome Games Done Quick.
Great job.
That is wonderful to hear. Now, tell us about your awesome weekend with VR.
So, yes, you last weekend you let me borrow your PSVR, and I saw some videos that Nate posted about hooking it up to your PC, and that got me super excited.
How hard was it to hook up? How hard was it to get that working on your PC?
Really, not that hard. The hardest part was the video card only has one HDMI out.
That's right. You were sending us a message asking if somebody. I thought I had left something out of the
box.
No,
no, no, no. You didn't. So at first, I was looking for a a DisplayPort to HDMI adapter because I have a DisplayPort. You know, it also has two DVI adapters. So I have two DVI ports, an HDMI port, and a DisplayPort on the back of the video card. And I couldn't find a DisplayPort adapter. I was about to order one, but then I checked a local store here on base, and they had a DVI to HDMI adapter for pretty cheap. So I went ahead and I got that.
Okay.
And then I hooked up the VR to the DVI. I watched a video online, downloaded some software. It was like a little trial version, and it, like, you know, went out after a couple of minutes, so I'm like, you know, it's just a few bucks, so I bought the, you know, license for that, and I loaded up the, you know, hooked everything up, did the software, you know, made sure everything was, like, going well, put on Elite Dangerous. You have to, you know, sort of finagle a little bit, you know, with moving, you know, because it basically puts the VR headset as a second display, so you had to, like, you know, move stuff over, you know, like, sort of, like, force move it over to the second display. But once I did that, and I had the you know, the Elite Dangerous running, I mean, the first time I sat in, you know, my virtual cockpit and looked around, I was just like, wow, this is completely different. You know, the first thing that got me was the sense of depth and scale, which I love with 3D. I don't want things jumping out at me.
Yeah.
When I go see 3D movies, that's just not how I don't like that. But I want to see into the world. You know, and so when you actually see further in instead of things popping out, that's what gets, you know, like, wow, that's what blows my mind. And so I'm used to Elite Dangerous, like with the HUD, just everything sort of being just one flat plane, so to speak.
Right.
And with this,
but it's not when you're in VR.
It's not. You saw it in VR, right? So yeah,
I played it in VR the very first PAX South.
Oh, man. So like I'm noticing, like, you know, like, you know, this, you know, part of the HUD is up here. This one's back here. This one's back here. This, you know, like I'm noticing the depth in my cockpit and everything. I'm just like, oh, this is great.
I experienced Elite Dangerous in VR almost every time I demoed it leading up to this. This is going back to the E3 days and to hitting up PAX Prime most likely, and then PAX South when they were still doing VR stuff. This is early on. So every time they wanted to demo the game, The Elite Dangerous was the demo that you played. PAX South, however, the first one there, they had the VR set up, and it was somebody had to guide my hands because they had a whole HOTAS.
Yes, so, I did that where like, you know, because like I had my HOTAS stick, you know, which is the hands on the throttle, you know, which has a throttle and a stick.
Yeah.
And so I'd taken my hand off, you know, to like fumble for my keyboard because I still have a binding on my keyboard that I do for centering the view and stuff. And so when I tried to go back, I looked down, I saw, you know, the avatar's hand on the stick. And so I went to grab for that and there's nothing there. I'm like, what? Where's my, and like, oh, there it is.
Yeah.
So, like, where it was, in reality, as opposed to what my brain was interpreting where my hand should have been, you know, just kind of that kind of threw me there.
Yeah.
Because I was like, because I'm sitting there just grabbing it in the air. I'm like, why am I, where's my stick? Where am I? Oh, no, it's over here. Instead.
Yeah, the hand-eye coordination is a little compromised because the eye is occupied right now.
But it was great.
But you feel encased.
Yeah.
You feel
I was looking around, up and down. When you're flying.
Yeah. Well, didn't you have it was like years ago. I think you and James were talking about, what was that game, Hawken?
Yeah.
That had the same type of
You're in a, you're in a mech.
Yeah, but it had the same type of depth.
Hawken was fantastic because the first thing I did when I got into the mech was I turned completely 180 because I wanted to see what if it rendered behind the cockpit.
Yeah.
Sure enough, it did.
It did. Same with Elite.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a part of the ship you've never seen before.
Yeah, I turned around and it's the back of my chair, but I'm like looking around the chair.
Yeah.
Because the ship that I was in is actually a multi-crew ship. You could have three people in it.
Oh, nice.
And so they're, they would be rendered, like if Kevin was in there, he would be rendered behind me if he was in my ship and stuff. And so dogfighting in it was just, is easy to keep your eye on where they were, so when the enemies are above you, you just look up and you see them. And, I liked it. I could tell that the PlayStation VR is not built for the computer.
Right.
So it was a lower resolution than probably what the Vive or Oculus would be putting out.
Yeah.
So there was a little bit of jumping, it wasn't as smooth. Mm-hmm. So it did make it gave me more eye strain quicker than if I was on the PlayStation, which it's designed for. But, just for an experiment and for, it was really neat. It made me kind of want to get an Oculus for that, so I could actually do that.
Check out eBay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean that's I looked. So I looked up stuff after you picked that up. I looked at eBay on Vive because you can play it. I think you can play it on the Vive too.
I'm pretty sure.
But I looked up the Vive stuff because the Vive has gone through more iterations now than when it first launched. Oculus, I think, has two, but nothing like what Vive has done. So I was curious as to what the year one Vives were looking at. And I'm not talking about the Kickstarter stuff. I'm talking about the year one retail Vives, what they were looking like. And you could get some for about $200.
Which is the price of a PSVR.
Which is exactly the price of a PSVR. So there is this thing of where they're not coming down in price as far as what's on the shelves, but The second
how much
market
are those, like 500 still,
I think so, 5 or 6, something like that. Depends on what all you get with it. I mean, it's the cost of entry is still massive. Bringing it down to $200 through, if they could get that down to $200, the cost of entry is negated. I think that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
$200 for a headset like that, and that does everything that comes with the cameras, that comes with or the motion sensors, and that comes with the controllers.
The interesting thing with the PSVR is you don't need the cameras on your computer.
Is it the
It's using the own gyroscopic whatevers
inside the mask itself. Oh, okay.
So because I don't have any cameras hooked up to my computer, but you didn't need it. The software that was running. That sort of, it says like put on a stable surface, and that's what, calibrates the sensors in the headset itself. And so I didn't need any kind of camera equipment, or external. I would say you do need some kind of controller because the Steam VR that you're launching is expecting you to have some kind of
input device. Yeah.
So that was, I use my Xbox controller.
Yeah.
For that, once I kind of figured out the button layout.
Forgot everything. About that aspect of launching it from Steam,
Yeah.
That you have to go through the Steam VR client.
Yeah. I want to ask you something about your VR experience with Elite. You said you had to look up to see any dogfights. You had to look up to see any planes coming around you, things like that.
Yeah, you could.
There was no heads-up display or nothing like that? Like a little icon letting you know
you've got a you've got a radar.
Yeah, you have a radar that tells you where people are and everything. But you kind of do have like where it'll show you like a little bit, but once that those kind of displays are only good on the sort of the glass of your ship, right? So if you're if the guy's behind you over here, if you're looking over there, you don't see like the little the heads up display doesn't continue over. It's only projected on sort of like a ship glass.
Mm-hmm.
So on the canopy of your ship. So if your ship gets, you know, enough damage where your canopy gets busted out, mm-hmm. you lose your heads up display.
Okay.
That's happened a couple of times. Like, you know, been in some fights, my canopy got hit straight on, mm-hmm. and it blows out, and like I have no heads up display. So flying back to a friendly port, I, you know, you have to like try and figure out where are they, and you have to use your instruments to figure out, you know, am I lined up with them or not? Because there's no reticles, there's no nothing.
Did I watch somebody lose power one time in their ship?
You could lose power if they take out your power plant.
Everything completely goes
down,
dark in your cockpit.
Yeah,
and then of course the windows start to freeze up a little bit.
Yeah,
but the life support's an issue after that point.
You do have. That's why you upgrade your life support. I have mine running a 4A life support, so I could go for about 25 minutes on oxygen. You know, if you on the standard, you know, you have a couple of minutes to get back, you know, before you suffocate to death.
Well, it's like a Dead Space when you're updating your rig.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
It was like, I think one of the first and foremost things I updated was air supply,
mm-hmm.
because I almost ran
outside,
out of air.
Yeah.
I almost ran out of air one time. I'm like, the first thing I'm doing is getting my air
kind of creepy
picked up.
When I was doing the mining, we were actually mining in ice rings, kind of like, you know, how Saturn has its rings and everything.
Right.
So for the asteroids, they're in those kind of, you know, rings. And you either have, like, metal rings or whatever. You know, like, but I was at a ice ring.
Mm-hmm.
And once I started, you know, like, going, you know, cracking open the asteroid, mm-hmm. you know, that's part of the ring, and it's, you know, ice ring, it is, like, freezing over my canopy, where, you know, you really can't see much because everything's all frosted over.
Mm-hmm.
Just the canopy effects in it are really neat. So,
yeah. I was looking at do you ever look at eBay, those prices on the Vive?
I think it was the Vive that I was looking at.
Yeah, I saw some range for like 140 to 560 or something like that.
Probably
like
some, yeah. There's probably
some components here and there, mm-hmm. but not a complete thing, but still pretty up there.
It is, but it is. If you can find a full set, it's usually cheaper, around $200, maybe $200 to $250.
But yeah, that playing it, you know, I know there's some people that are detractors to VR, Ethel, but
subtle.
But personally, I liked it. You know, if you don't find, if it gives you headaches, that's, you know, terrible.
That's a thing.
It is a thing.
There is eye strain.
You got, you know, basically two monitors right there, like inches from your eyeballs.
Dead in front of your eye, yeah, exactly.
So I could see how, you know, maybe the older I get, like, I can't spend as much time as, like, if I was in my
20s. Yeah.
But, I mean, still, for me, I was impressed. I thought, you know, just having that sense of feeling like I'm in a space that I was not in physically.
Yeah.
You know, it was really neat.
Not that you can give it a try, but Star Trek Bridge Crew
is
the other thing. You really need five people to do it, but I think that's fantastic. I think it's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
We're coming up close here to our break. Yeah, I'll tell you what. We'll just grab the phone.
Grab it.
We'll just go live with the phone call. Hey, you're on In-Game Chat. Who's this?
This is Chris.
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
Sounds like y'all survived the bad weather this afternoon, huh?
So far.
So, yeah.
There's no windows, obviously, up here in this studio, so we can't really see what's going on outside.
Well, I mean,
yeah.
Not windows outside.
Yeah, we got one of the ones that was up around Booth that was to the west of us came real close to us, but luckily we're okay as well. So
Good to know.
Good to hear.
Yeah.
What have you been playing? What you been doing?
Well, I was thinking here recently, as an old game on the Xbox 360 I got years ago, it was like a mining game. You know, I think it was Mine or Dig Deep or something like that.
Okay, sounds familiar.
When it first launched on the system, when the system first came out, it was like only a buck. And I thought, I hadn't played that thing in so long, and I fired up the Xbox in 5 or 6, 7 years. I hadn't played it in so long just to play this sucker, this little game.
Well, I haven't. It's very familiar, but I don't know that I ever owned that one on there. And basically, if it's not backwards compatible, then I probably don't play it because I don't have my 360 hooked up.
Yeah.
And of course, I haven't really played anything. Are you all in on this Kingdom Hearts 3 coming up in what, 2 weeks? Next week? What is it?
I think it's on Tuesday. I haven't really got into the Kingdom Hearts game.
See, it seems like, I mean, not necessarily the Disney stuff, but it seems like it'd be right up your alley as far as, you know, it's Japanese RPG, basically.
Well, I've seen, and, you know, I just one of the ones I never got into. I just don't like the series and all, but, you know, I probably would be, but it's just, there's so much out there, and I never did get into one, and, you know, it's just all the, you know.
Convoluted, yeah, I know. Trust me, I know. Well, Chris, as always, we're glad you're safe, number one, but we appreciate mm-hmm. you calling all the time. Thank you so much for continuing to listen and call in as well. We appreciate hearing from you.
Mm-hmm. Have y'all seen the pictures of Wetumpka? They were showing pictures on TV earlier when it was all going down, and one of the churches got completely destroyed over there.
Yeah, no, I've seen a lot of debris in that area and everything. I think there is reports of injuries. But yes, there is substantial damage in Wetumpka. So, I've seen the pictures of those just browsing through different aspects here while we're doing the show. But I'm glad you weren't a part of that. Glad you are safe, you and your family both. So
I hope everybody else that's listening to the show and elsewhere is safe as well. So y'all be safe out there.
Thank you so much, Chris.
All right, y'all have a good afternoon.
You too.
Take care now.
Bye.
We're going to take a break here in a bit and go downstairs and check on that and see how things are going. Yeah. My watch tells me that it's mostly cloudy. I don't necessarily want to trust my watch, but it says it's mostly, and it's going to get really cold tonight, too, which is even better.
Yeah.
I enjoy the cold.
Okay.
I like the cold more than I do.
We need cold. We have, Alabama hasn't had a winter yet.
No.
That's
give it a
just
couple months.
Me, though. Hmm. Got a few minutes here. I'll hit a couple of other little small stories. Fortnite earned $2.4 billion
with a B.
That's ridiculous.
In 2018. According to a report, Fortnite earned more digital revenue than any other game in 2018, contributing to the 11% rise in digital game revenue across all platforms. It seems to have also succeeded in pushing up the revenue for free-to-play console games by 458%.
And that's what? Just with the emotes and the...
Emotes and gestures and skins and... Things like that.
To give you an idea of how far ahead Fortnite is, Fortnite earned $2.4 billion in 2018. In second place was Nexon's Dungeon Fighter Online at $1.5 billion. Mm-hmm. That's how far ahead Fortnite is on this. Good Lord.
I wonder if people in AAA game studios, they make, Activision or... EA or, Ubisoft, or, are they just looking at that and just going here we are, spending, years and so much money on, Assassin's Creed or, mm-hmm. or whatever, mm-hmm. and here comes Fortnite, just be like, we just, printing money hats.
Well, that's the thing, that you see Fortnite, you see them doing something right, and everyone's trying to jump onto that. My question is, really, how long can their run last? I mean, it's been out since when? 2017? I'm about to say earlier than that, wasn't it? Because I think it first started out as the team-based castle defense type game and
tower
things
defense.
Like that.
Team-based
tower defense game. And then it turned into something else. It
turned into the Battle Royale. Yeah. It has no signs of ever slowing down. It really doesn't.
I mean, but like...
It will. I think it will hit a bubble.
It will. Like mm-hmm. the zombies were forever everywhere. Shoehorned into every little thing that they shouldn't
they're
be shoehorned.
Up.
But not as much.
But they're still showing up.
Yeah, no, there's no sign of this slowing down. Like I said, it will hit a bubble at some point, but by then they may have some other gimmick to throw at you that keeps them coming back. So, we'll see about that. We're going to take our next break here. And when we come back, what do we have here? We got the Rocket League announcement. Got some changes to Steam. Got the Division 2 stuff going on with what you can do in the red zone, I guess, or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
What else was in our news for today? There's some Activision Blizzard stuff to tell you about that as well. And, Mortal Kombat 11. Talk mm-hmm. about that, too. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Here is music from a game I haven't played, but Matt has. Ace Combat 7.
I've played it.
This is called Daredevil. We'll be back in just a bit.
Thank you.
And welcome back to In-Game Chat on the Saturday, the 19th of January, 2019. Yes. I'm Scott, along with RJ and Matt.
It sounds like a Tim Burton thing.
This is
doesn't it?
I keep thinking of Edith Finch.
Mm. This comes from a game called Abyss Odyssey. Mm. And it's called the Abyss theme, basically, is what this is.
To me, it sounded very Burton-esque. Or, I guess, Elfman-esque.
Close enough.
Cool.
Abyss Odyssey?
Abyss Odyssey. Odyssey. I don't know that I'd ever... Again, I couldn't think of a theme, so I go up to Steam, and I... first, I look at what people are playing, and last night, people were playing Elite Dangerous,
yay,
Rocket League,
okay,
and... I don't know, some other stuff that we've already done. It was just not...
It wasn't grabbing you?
No, well, there was nothing that we hadn't already played music for.
Yeah.
So then I went to... then my next step is go to Activity. To see what people got achievements in, or posted screenshots of, or put, or picked up, or added to a wish list, or anything.
You should do
what?
You should go to, like, I guess, to Wikipedia or whatever, like list of video games, and find the very first one, what, Pong or whatever, that have music, and just start with that, and just go down the list.
Oh, jeez, we'd never escape the 8-bit days. Mm-hmm. For probably as long as we do this show, we would never escape out of the 8-bit days.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Of course you are. The music in your head is 8-bit.
Beep, beep, boop, beep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so welcome back to the show.
So, RJ, so you're going to buy that super-duper Mortal Kombat, huh?
Eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll pick that up.
The steelbook's nice, even though it's completely solid black with just the Mortal Kombat logo.
There's a dragon logo on the front?
Yeah.
Does it have the sometimes 11 behind?
No.
Sometimes,
it's just
sometimes simplicity is the best way to go.
Now, I don't know if that's going to be the final product, but if it is, it still looks really, really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sometimes they do.
But that comes with a mask? Scorpion mask?
No, I wasn't getting that one.
That's the one I'm talking about.
The steelbook looks nice. Yeah, I said I'm going to pick up the regular edition.
Oh no, you should get the Scorpion mask edition.
You got that special edition money.
I'll write you a check.
What is it? $300?
$300.
$300 to get the game, the steelbook, and then
a
mask.
Steelbook mask.
Can you wear the mask?
Book thing like that? I guess.
I don't know.
I wonder how it size.
I don't know why you would.
I don't think you can wear it. I think it's just a
sit on your desk.
Yeah, it's just a one to one replica.
Thing, yeah.
Yeah. It's a full-size replica of the mask. I don't think it's anything. It's not it's not the Halo helmet from way back when.
The kitty helmet?
Yeah. That was horrible.
So, what was your impression of the video?
A lot more brutal than I remember Mortal Kombat being. It seemed they just upped the ante. They just put a lot more graphically intense brutal things in there.
Who was that bloodbender?
Scarlet. Scarlet from NK9.
Nine.
Yeah, she was a character in that one. And
now the new one though, that new guy looks really kind of cool.
Garrus.
I watched
the Earth controlling powers on his.
I've been watching a little
Earth
bit of
time
Earth and Time.
Power.
Yeah,
I've been watching Legend of Korra lately. He's, that's why I've been like, oh, Bloodbender. Yeah.
He's
awesome.
Very Prince of Persia esque.
Yeah.
With what he can do, the time mechanic was neat because he affects the time of the game clock as well.
Yeah.
So if he beats you down to, enough to where he can beat you down enough to where he can then fast forward time on the game clock so that it makes it impossible for you to catch up to him before time runs out.
Yeah.
He can also resurrect himself if you take him down.
Hmm.
You can kill him and not win the round. You can resurrect yourself.
It's like a Gil in Street Fighter 3 Third Strike.
Mm-hmm.
If you did,
that doesn't
anybody knows the game knows. But if you knock him out, and he has a full super meter, that super meter will empty and refill his life bar.
He's basically what a warlock was in Destiny back in Destiny 1 with Phoenix
Rises or whatever.
Yeah, that's what everybody. It's like when we were doing raids. It's like, who's the warlock? Okay, make sure you have Resurrect on.
Yep,
that's all they wanted you for, so that the whole team wouldn't wipe.
Yep.
So you could just resurrect yourself.
Stay alive to get us back up on our feet.
Yeah,
basically.
But no, he's got that ability, and like
it looks interesting.
Yeah,
yeah. Probably gonna be like a boss character before the main. The main antagonist in the story mode that I looked at.
So someone was saying, I haven't read up on it, but there one button fatalities.
You can turn that on.
Yeah, you can turn that on or off.
That's been in the games for a while now.
Oh, has it?
Yeah, easy fatalities or whatever.
Yeah, you can turn those on. Because they have no effect on any kind of score or whatever. You've already won the match afterwards. Mm-hmm. So
that's just an extra bit of brutalness.
So you can turn on easy fatalities.
No, it just guarantees you pull off a fatality. Because normally you just have to know the input, the distance, and things like that. That's all you really had to know.
You still have to know the distance, I think,
distance. The right distance. You have to have the right distance. Yeah. Sometimes close, mid, sometimes full screen away.
Okay.
Yeah. They'll just tell you what the motions are, but you have to figure out how far you have to be.
I was watching. I watched Scarlett versus Garrus for a little while, and then I moved over to watch Raiden and Sonya, as played by Rewind and Sonic Fox, and that was fantastic to watch. By the way,
yeah.
Rewind and Sonic Fox was fantastic. If you can find that video of them playing MK11, watch it. If you like the fighting game genre, watch it. It's fantastic. They had great matches. They weren't vying for any sort of championship whatsoever.
No, it was just a display on top level MK11
play. But it
was
beautiful.
Yeah, it was good.
I like how Raiden's lightning's red now.
Yeah, basically based on the story from 11, Raiden was protecting Earthrealm all this time. Mm-hmm. But now at this point, he's tired of defending. Now he's going to be a little proactive in defending Earth. Basically, anyone who threatens Earth, I'm just going to go ahead and destroy them. Not even wait for them to act. I'm just going to go out and destroy all the threats and not wait for them to do anything to us first.
What I noticed, and you'd be able to tell me if it's the same or if it is different, and maybe you don't know, but the stages look rather large, or larger than what I'm familiar with, from end to end.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like they've got a lot of distance between, you know, one end of the stage to the other end of the stage.
Or it might be the characters aren't as big as they were in 11. I've heard that as well.
Or in X?
I'm sorry, 10, yeah. Mortal Kombat X or XL. That might be the case as well. But either way, there may be a combination of both. Maybe the stages are bigger, and you got more, and the characters are small, so more room to work with.
The stages looked like they were, reasonable size as far as from end to end.
Yeah.
So it doesn't necessarily do anything, but I know it makes getting cornered a lot less common because you've got so much
more room to work with.
Yeah. I remember some stages in 9 were like that, where some stages were a lot longer or shorter in between.
And it could, that's another thing. I could be looking at stages that are just specifically big.
Yeah.
And have no, the two stages that I watched were the Garrus and Scarlett stage, and I think that was in like, I don't know.
I think that the stage I've seen was like an underground nightclub, a military base, and then what other stages were there? I remember those two.
One looked like the Shao. I don't know if it's Shao Kahn's throne, but it was all dilapidated and whatever. No. You got to go back to MK1.
Mm-hmm.
The original. Okay.
Go to the original. And there's that one stage where in the background is a temple, and then there's rows and rows of people watching.
The monks.
Oh, yeah.
The monks watching the monk.
Yeah, with the Shao Kahn.
Yeah. It looks like... Shao Kahn was in there.
Shang Tsung.
But it looked like that stage, but a whole lot of detail, and it was all, like, decayed and broken down and everything else.
Probably like from the trailer, probably. That stage... The trailer,
which maybe I don't know. That's the stage I saw that Sonic Fox and Rewind doing their thing.
If a new guy,
which one?
The new character,
Garrus.
Okay.
If he could affect time, I wish that they could like time warp it where you go back to the original MK1 and it looks like it original, like had that original backdrop and everything with like your characters in it. Mm. You know that. That would be kind of cool.
I like the idea, but I would rather it stay in like modern times and like go back to those previous stages.
Have it like as an Easter egg, maybe not like a feature, but like have an Easter egg where you could go back in time to have it look
love your nostalgia, don't you?
Yeah. But I just think that'd be kind of neat. You're like, oh my gosh, like a fatality for him, like a time warp.
Have they ever gone back to those stages, even though they've and updated them?
They've updated some old stages and things like that.
I know they've done like the pit
courtyard,
two
and, pit two things like that. Yeah,
those were different.
What was the one? acid pool. I remember they did that in 9. You could do stage fatalities and things like that.
But like, if you like
Netherrealm, the Netherrealm region where you pit them in the lava, that was another remade stage in 9 as well.
I don't know, I think that'd be kind of a neat little like Easter egg fatality if you could, like, warp them back into time to the original MK1, and then
so some characters wouldn't exist.
I mean, what, they wouldn't be alive during that time? I mean, were they babies? I don't know. I just think that'd be neat. Also, I think it would be cool if they did Mortal Kombat versus Street Fighter somehow in my head.
That works.
When you're talking about, like, in a military base, you know, it's one of the stages, I would love to see, like, them fighting against Guile.
Yeah. I probably threw that out there. But the time mechanic you were talking about, Scott, like fast-forwarding the clock or rewinding it back, not the first time I've seen it. Old fighter from Sega years back, Eternal Champions.
Oh, yeah.
One of the characters in there, Raven, a voodoo priestess named Raven, had an hourglass, and she could like throw it, and it would like take off 10 seconds off the clock, or put 10 seconds back on there, or slow down time, or speed things up, things of that nature. But affecting a clock is that would really be something messed up in a tournament. Like, you thought you had an advantage, and then one hit, and then suddenly you got 10 seconds left, or something like that, and now you got to rush the clock and try to get that victory in.
It can be an interesting mechanic to work around.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could play fighting games as much as I loved watching fighting games.
Same here.
You can, but...
I've played against you enough times to know that I'm not good at it.
It's not me. I mean, just play them.
Yeah.
That's the goal. They're trying to get as many people in there as they can playing.
The more you play, the better you can get. And I know it's just all about that. But
So the elements of the thing, reveal something like there's like 3 meters now. You got your health meter, you got your defense meter, and your offensive meter. A lot of things open up between that as they're filled up.
Yeah.
And then I saw the implementation of things that are from Injustice in there as well, like the numbers in the health meter. If anybody remembers that, the numbers in the health meter is kind of like an Injustice where you see exactly how much you have in terms of health, meter wise and number wise, how many how much health you got left.
And I guess it starts at a scale of 100.
Oh,
I think it's 1,000, isn't it?
1,000 or 1,050. Yeah, because some characters in Justice was like that. Some was at 950, some at 1,000, some at 1,050, depending on who they are. Now, tournament-wise, they'll probably make that even 1,000 across the board. But in Injustice 2, a lot of characters had more health or less health, depending on who you pick. Like a speed character would probably have a 950, but a powerhouse that was slow, could take a lot more damage, would be at like 1,050. Something like that.
That makes sense.
That applies there in Street Fighter as well. I think the concern some folks have is that gear system, because multiple types of gear you can earn throughout the game. I thought maybe they'd have a gear system like in Injustice 2, but I don't think that's going to be the case. I think it's just going to be cosmetic.
I think it'll be cosmetic as well. Yeah. I know you can earn armor in the game and that sort of thing.
Yeah, different outfits and things like that. A lot of customization looks like going on in that game.
There looked like there was a lot of customization for that, and some having more customization options than others.
Yeah, not just clothing though. I mean, talking like certain moves and abilities you could pick from the get go, or you pick out your own outro, pick out your own intro, things like that. I mean, a lot of customization going on in this iteration of.
At all of that as basically just monetization avenues.
That's probably why you heard a lot of groaning.
Yeah, you can earn this, but you could also buy it and have it now.
Yeah,
you know, one of those situations, which I'm sure they're going to look ways to make money on top of money, and that's probably likely how they're going to do it. Earlier this week, Psyonix announced that Rocket League is now crossplay with Switch, Xbox One, PC, and PS4. It is only the second game to have all of the systems and PC on crossplay with Fortnite is the other one. And basically, Sony is the holdout on this. So Switch, Xbox One, and Steam have been enjoying this for a while.
But Sony's the one Sony's
been the holdout. And in fact, just to be clear, it is in crossplay beta. It is in the crossplay beta program with Fortnite and Rocket League. It is a very big deal. And because the more of these that come through, the more you're going,
we'll get something like that.
The more you're going to see this with other games, which I'm perfectly fine with. I mean, me and RJ were just talking a minute ago. He was thinking about getting into Iron Banner again on Destiny today, and I said, "Man, if this break from Activision that Bungie has done gives us that ability, and I don't necessarily, I don't think that I want crossplay in PvP. I don't want PC to be able to crossplay with the consoles in PvP.
Yeah, you have a definite performance.
But I don't even. I'd love crossplay so that I could sign on and play with you through the open world on my PC. But again, I have to go back to say that I would be absolutely 100% satisfied with just the ability to log into my character on PS4 and everything is there from, you know, from my PC. You know, that it's just a shared save, basically.
Yeah.
That would be too much to ask for.
I don't necessarily. No, I don't think that part is. I think that's likely what I'm going to get.
Yeah.
If it ever happens, I think that's as much as I'll get.
I'd be happy with that.
So, and I'd be fine with that because then I could play with my PS4 folks whenever I wanted to.
Just jump on whichever system someone's at.
Exactly. I could run with RJ and run him through some stuff, you know? After I've done it on PC and gotten the feel for it, I just jump over to PS4 and run it with RJ again. Mm-hmm. Would love that. So I would love to see something like that happen. I'm not necessarily considering it, but I'm pretty sure that I would buy into that if that was a thing. Like, we can do this, but then you've got to pay for blah, 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 or something like that. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm almost willing to say that I would do that just to have another place to play with the folks on PS4, because there's a lot of people on console that I and even better if that is also shared on Xbox One, because then I could also get the game there and I would have it there to play with anybody who's on Xbox One, which there were a few, but you know.
After the show last week, we talked about a little briefly about like trying to get out of that idea of having all of my games under one umbrella for so long. You know, Steam on the computer was, that's where my games are located. They're on Steam, blah blah blah. But then you know, started doing you know the UPlay Store, the Epic Store,
EA Origins,
the Origins, and stuff like that. You know, now it's more like where can I play with friends? You know, so if it's on the PC, fine. If it's on the console, fine. If it's you know any kind of amalgam of that, you know, I'm willing to. I'm now more open to that kind of experience because like what how. Whatever input, I don't mind, as long as I get to share it with people that, you know, I don't want to throat punch because they annoy me.
Speaking of Steam that you were talking about, there was a blog post for Valve of what was coming to Steam in 2019. There were eight changes that are coming to Steam. The store discoverability, they're going to work on a new recommendation engine.
Okay.
They can match players to games based on their individual tastes.
I miss the the new. I mean, because for a while they had like a new little banner, you know, just new releases.
Yeah.
Instead of like now, it's like I think you get three that you can look through.
You can still scroll down and look at what's new releases.
Yeah.
And coming soon and that sort of thing. Steam China, they partnered with to bring Steve onshore to China. Okay. Steam library updates. Long-awaited changes to the Steam client will ship, including a reworked Steam library built on top of technology that they shipped in Steam Chat, which I've never used. A new event system. They're upgrading the event system in Steam Community, enabling you to highlight interesting activities in your games like tournaments, streams, and weekly challenges. They are going to expand Steam TV beyond just broadcasting specific tournaments and special events. They are going to ship a new Steam Chat mobile app, so you can share your... Blah, blah, blah. And then Steam Trust, that's going to be CSGO stuff, the trusted matchmaking. And then the Steam PC Cafe program. They're going to officially ship a new PC Cafe program so that players can have a good experience of using Steam in hundreds of thousands of PC cafes worldwide. So, a lot of stuff that just doesn't apply to any of us.
And no Half-Life 3.
Of course not.
No. My problem with the recommendation that Steam does is like sometimes it recommends games I already have in my library. I can't tell you how many times I've seen Fallout 3.
It has never recommended a game that I already have in my library.
Oh, man, it's like Fallout 3. I see that all the time. And I'm like, I already own this game. I don't need it to be recommended. I've played it. It's there in my library.
It's never recommended that to me.
Oh, yeah.
It has always recommended either new stuff. It may recommend things that are in my wish list, but
I do get that as well, which I don't mind as much, but, you know.
Well,
some of the recommendations, I'm just like, nope, skip, you know.
You know, you talk about that banner on the front of the store. That's all paid for.
Yeah.
Those are people paying for that placement. So, which is why you might get some odd things that are already in your library.
Or not applicable.
Right. So, but for the most part, the only thing it's done for me is it's helped me discover new things. Yeah. In fact, we don't have it coming up here, but we've got a song from it. But there's a new game out that I think you might be interested in.
Mm-hmm.
It is very... what is that game called?
Bombastic.
No. It's the farming game.
Stardew Valley.
Very Stardew Valley-esque, called My Time at Portia.
I think I've heard a little something about it. My Time at Portia.
Yeah.
It sounds familiar.
It's, I know Daniel, who used to be on the show,
yeah,
and now works for Bungie, is, he's put in a lot of time on that. When I was going through my list of Steam activities, mm-hmm, he was playing it, as well as he had a bunch of achievements from it as well. It's very much a building type, you're a person that goes down and chops down trees and gardens and tends to your land,
yeah,
type thing.
Cool.
So, I thought you might be interested. I added it to my wish list. I don't know that I'll ever get around to it, but I added it.
All right.
So, let's see. Are we coming up on a break? Sure, why not? We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about, the private beta for Division 2. Activision Blizzard CFO getting a wad of money just for taking the job.
Desperation.
I don't know. It's just one of those things that people get with contracts and things that, you know, it's stuff.
Yeah.
It's the corporate world. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat in just a minute. Here is music from a game called Atlantic Fleet.
All right.
It's the main menu music. We'll be back in just a moment. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from another game I have not played, Wandersong. Nope. Or maybe it's Vandersong? Anyway, it's called All Our Friends. Somebody, I think, got achievements on this earlier on, so that's where I pulled the music from. So welcome back to the show. We've got, what else was there? There was something about, it was the Activision Blizzard guy getting $15 million just for taking the job.
That's a lot of dough.
That's why it's about desperation on that one.
It is a lot of money. And, it was Dennis Durkin, which is a great name, Durkin.
Yep.
He is their new chief financial officer. He's getting a bonus worth of $15 million just for taking the job. That's in addition to his $900,000 salary and a $1.35 million target bonus.
This is, yeah, figures I'm never going to see in my lifetime.
Good God.
But they're still under a, Activision's still under that, that fraud investigation, are they not?
They, as far as I know, I haven't heard anything new on that.
Yeah, I just heard there was an investigation going on, but yeah.
But
in the middle of that, you got the new guy taking the job.
Yeah, right? And he's already gotten $15 million. That's it.
Yeah.
$15 million for taking the job. He doesn't really have to do anything after this.
I can just, like, one day and be like, all right, see you guys.
I know.
Yeah.
He could. He'd probably be in breach of contract. There is probably some contract in place, but I doubt it has anything to do with his $15
million. Yeah.
So
I could live comfortably for the rest of my life probably on $15 million.
The publisher's previous CFO was fired after negotiating with Netflix, which is his new employer. Huh. Durkin, his replacement, was previously their CFO for 5 years. And then Blizzard lost its CFO last week.
Yeah.
The hire is happening at a tricky time. Shares dropped late last year, and reportedly Blizzard employees being paid to leave as part of a cost-cutting measure. Mm-hmm. Activision is also set to part with Bungie and will lose Destiny in the process. So... the first comment says, I hope they give him a phone so that he can play the next Diablo game.
All right, yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. The phone thing we talked about already. I mean, some games you don't want to play
on your phone?
On phone.
Yeah.
I mean, I know phones are getting up there in tech specs and all that, but still, no.
Yeah. I mean, my phone's pretty, it's pretty snappy.
You can do a lot on your phone, yeah.
Yeah.
You can do a lot on there. Yeah.
I don't want it, I don't want to watch movies on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to play, Elite on it or shooting games or, yeah.
Yeah, the Diablo thing just felt like a move that just was done strictly based on numbers.
Yeah.
And not what the players want.
So I can at least understand it's on typical. The Switch, right? Because you can put that up on the TV.
Yeah.
Boom.
You got the
big
option,
screen. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For the mobile game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of Blizzard, they have unveiled Diablo 3 Season 16. It launched yesterday.
Has it been 16 years since Diablo 3?
I doubt it, no.
No, it hadn't.
It launched yesterday on PC, and it launches today on Xbox One, PS4, and Switch. New cosmetics, new buffs, and more as well. For the new season of Diablo 3, which I still haven't played my Switch copy, by the way.
No.
The Division 2's private beta starts on February the 7th. It'll be open until February 10th on all three platforms that the game will be released on. The small-scale beta will go live next month on a Thursday and go from Thursday to Sunday.
You
can get access by pre-ordering from certain retailers. You can also apply for the beta by registering at the game's website, but only a limited number of those who are registering will actually receive access. So, it's one of those like go ahead and pre-order and play it, and then you can just cancel your pre-order.
Did you play much of Division?
I tried to get back into it and actually did play a good bit of it when I got back into it, but by then the community was so far ahead, and also it was so empty.
Sparse?
It was very sparse in the lower levels.
Yes.
Which is where I was trying to play, and extremely sparse in those lower levels. So I didn't really stay around very long after I got back into it. It was, and I really hated that because I know you guys got pretty good ways into it, and I kind of want to do that again, but I don't want to delay it this time. I want to stick
Maybe
with you guys
if
that's
on
the case.
It, on the ground floor, because I remember I enjoyed it, but then stopped it for a while, then I got back into it, and like, oh yeah, but. I forgot, my muscle memory went there.
Yeah.
For it.
It's kind of like me with Warframe. I mean, the game is fun, and but I'm at low level, and I'm pretty much sure at this point, everybody I know who plays the game is at a ridiculously higher level than I am.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that with that in Monster Hunter World.
And
yeah,
and
I've stopped
with
in the 20s, but everyone I know is like in the 150s and 160s by now.
And with Division, it scales. So
yeah.
If Scott's like a lower level and I join in, it'll scale up to me. So then like he'll just get creamed.
That just happened. I remember that happening to us in Borderlands.
Yeah.
Someone came into our game who's at like a much higher level than we were.
And so like it boosts the
every monster enemy got boosted up.
And so you're like, anything. Whoa, hey, no. you're throwing pebbles at it.
Yeah.
And it's just like, nah.
Yeah.
This is again something where I looked at Destiny got it right. Why can't you guys? You know, it scales to you. Mm-hmm. You know, if I were to come into your game now mm-hmm. on Destiny with my PC guy who is 650, and your guy who is what
346, 347,
and we went on to do your content. Mm-hmm. Well, the game's going to scale it so that both of us have. What we need. It's not going to scale it up to me so that you just get, you're squishy.
Slaughtered.
Mm-hmm. It's going to keep it at scale for you, yeah. And then it's going to bring it up to scale for me. Mm-hmm. And that's it. So that's a really nice thing. I wish the Division would have done that because it would have made playing with you guys.
So much easier.
From a later standpoint, would have been better.
I mean, if you just sort of like hide behind cover and don't ever do anything and let us take care of it, you'll rank up pretty quick.
I know, but I'm not providing any sort of...
But then you're just taking up a slot and not doing any kind of help.
Yeah.
And that's not fun, also.
And as far as I know, it does scale to, hey, this group is three players, so let's send out this many people.
Yeah.
It doesn't... So if you go in solo, you're going to get less amount of enemies to deal with if you're playing solo. But as
people keep joining your party,
it gives you more enemies. So,
you know, more people to fight.
I think... What is Division? It's four?
Yes.
Yeah. Which, again, I look at that and I'm like, Destiny, why can't you do that? Why can't you give me four? Why can't you give me six? Why can't... You have all these things.
Ghost Recon was four.
You have all these things that I have to do. Where
there's a game I need. I want to get back into that one again.
What,
I enjoyed Wildlands. Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
You have these things where I go into Blind Well, which is a new activity from Forsaken, that requires, I think you can get up to 9 people in there.
Yeah.
Rarely do you ever have 9 people playing it, or in that instance, because of the way that they're... If you go into an instance like that, then the game counts you as 3 people mm-hmm. because then 3 people can join you. So, or 2 other people can join you is what I'm saying. So that's 3. In a 9 activity, you're counted as 3 people even though you're just by yourself. The next guy who comes in, he's also counted as 3 people because you're just by yourself. And then the next guy comes in, he's also counted as 3. So if he brings in 2 others, his fire team is full. Now you've still got 2 open slots. If you do run, and so yeah, that's how it counts. That's how it counts who's in there, which is why sometimes people can join me and sometimes people can't, mm-hmm. depending on who I've joined up with.
I am curious on Bungie's decision to go with 3. I know that they have 3 classes, mm-hmm. but that's just such an arbitrarily weird... To me, that's weird because historically it's been 4 for how long?
Ever.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I think back in the days of like the GameCube or whatever, because they had 4 ports, you know, or you know, stuff like that. That you know, 4 has kind of been like that number for that kind of thing. Yeah. Why 3? That just seemed so weird. And then their insistency on sticking to that when they did 2, like they could have learned the lesson and be like, you know what? Yeah, we have 3 classes, but, you know, if you want a fire team, you could have 4 people so that we have, like, 2 of this guy or, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Just to me, that has always just been, like, a head scratcher.
Yeah.
Or why limit fire teams? Like, why have a limit? You know?
It's how much the game space can hold.
Yeah. I'll just make a bigger game so that way you could have...
How big was...
If I have, like, a group of 10...
Huh? How big was it for Titanfall?
I don't remember that at all. I still need to go back to Titanfall 2 because I heard nothing.
For some reason, I'm thinking Titanfall. Titanfall had a big number for something.
Yeah,
like members
of
the team.
They have some games where like it was a bigger, you know, bigger amount of team limits.
Yeah,
but I don't know. Because if you have 4, you know, if you have more than 4 people that you want to play with, then you're just kind of like, well, oh well.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. I was checking with Rogue Hunter.
Yeah?
Anthony, who's in the chat room. He asked me why I wasn't at PAX South, and I said, are you there? He said, nope, and now I feel better. I was going to hate it if he was there, too, and Sarah was there, and I was like, oh. Yeah, Anthony, I had to back out of going to PAX South, and I didn't want to. I did not want to, but I had to. And, yeah, and I hate it because it's going on right now, and it's great and wonderful. Although, from the thing that I talked about earlier as we opened the show, I'm kind of glad that I didn't go in the sense that I had this issue with my dentist work and stuff. So, because if I was going, I wouldn't have been able to get that checked out until I got back, which might have been too late. And so, yeah, I don't know. Try to find some silver linings as to the upside of not going to this thing. I wish I was. Rogue has been playing. He has joined our clan, and he has been playing Destiny on PC. Said he got into a run in Blindwell with eight people, and it was bonkers. Yes, Rogue. If you ever got into the Escalation Protocol with the full group on that one, also bonkers. Even more so bonkers if you've got somebody running Orpheus rigs on their Hunter and can generate orbs, and you want to talk about frame rate issues because everybody's launching supers and then orbs are spitting out everywhere and all this. Oh, good Lord.
Orb fountains.
It was, yeah, yeah. No. That was some of my times with Escalation Protocols were fantastic. Rogue, I need to hook you up with a link to the Discord for PC so that you can. I know you're on the Discord for Colony of Gamers. I'll jump into that Discord later on today or tonight, and I'll shoot you a link to the Destiny LFG. Okay, Random's going to do that for you, and he'll get you that. So, that's something to look into. It's great for when you're just needing people to play with, to do other activities. It's wonderful. You know, I bet Division has one. I bet Division has an LFG.
Probably.
On PC. Or for Discord, that I could jump into as well. Well, it would have been great at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try and do Destiny 2 with you guys this time instead of without.
Okay.
Everything going okay?
No, I have to check something real quick. Popped out.
What popped out? Did a mic?
No, keep going.
Okay, I'm sorry. Wasn't sure what had happened there and if it was anything I could do.
No, if it was something catastrophic, I'd say something. But yeah.
Okay.
It was something minor. But I got it now. A plug came out.
No. Of what? On your laptop?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Did it drain your battery? Is that what?
No, I just got a message that said it's low. So why is it low? Oh, something.
Oh, your plug. Yeah, your plug popped out.
Yeah,
crazy.
Trying to look here to see what else we have on our thing. Not very much. We talked about the closed beta. Oh yeah, EA. They canceled that Star Wars game.
They did.
The open world Star Wars game, which Amy Hennig had already left from after they closed down Visceral, but there was a group that was going to take over. And you know, work on it and release it. They finally canceled that.
My expectations of getting an open world Star Wars game has been long gone. I know I'm going to get what I want in Star Wars games.
Is it at Half-Life 3 level?
Basic. Well, what I want, I know I'm never going to get again.
Okay.
I want another X-Wing simulator, like X-Wing, TIE Fighter, X-Wing Alliance. I want that. I'm never going to get that again.
From what I gathered from people talking about the Star Wars thing is that Star Wars seems to be ripe for a open world type game.
Oh, completely.
Game, but for some reason, EA can't.
They don't know how to wrap
EA
their brain around it?
Yeah, it's like they can't come
up with a marketing.
Well, how do we shoehorn in X number of this hero that everybody knows about? Don't. That would be my suggestion. Don't.
That's the problem.
I don't want.
And that was the problem with a lot of their. That's the problem with Battlefront and everything else was that.
I don't want a game playing as Kylo Ren. I don't want a game where Poe Dameron's like your wingman, or where Rey is running around, or Vader, or Yoda, or any of that.
You an original character.
Yes.
Just make an original character in the Star Wars universe.
That's why 1313 looked to be like something that was going to be amazing. That's why even Republic Commando, right? Mm-hmm. yeah, General Grievous was like, you know, in it, you know, briefly, but whatever. It wasn't about Anakin. It wasn't about Obi-Wan. It was about Delta Squad, these new characters, this new class of clone, and this campaign. And that's why it was beloved. And so many people do love that game. You know, when I suit up as my Republic commander, I get a lot of people coming up to me saying, oh my gosh, I remember that back in the day. And that game was so much fun because it was something different.
Well, I'm hoping that Disney will somehow pull their contract with EA so that they can...
What was that graphic someone put up about this number of Star Wars games that came out?
That have been canceled?
Well, like, no. That came out. It was like...
It's the amount of Star Wars games that have come
between 2004 and 2000-something. Yeah. It was like 8 Star Wars games that were hit and miss or whatever.
And then the amount of Star Wars games that have released since EA took the license.
Since EA took over, it's like 2.
Yeah, Battlefront 2. Yeah.
Maybe some mobile games in there. I don't know. But
like, well, even Force Unleashed, the first one was cool. And
that wasn't EA.
No, it wasn't. Yeah. But like, there's a universe out there. You know, that's one of the things I loved about Star Wars. George Lucas created a universe.
But the marketing doesn't want to touch that universe.
But they don't.
The marketing wants to touch your characters that you know.
Yes, and I don't want that.
I know you don't want that.
I know. And
there's probably a lot of people who are like you and don't want that.
And I get that there are people who they're uncomfortable with new things and they want the familiarity of, you know, Chewbacca, you know, running into or just any number of like, you know, the hero characters. But man,
yeah, Wraith said something in the comments that he settled for a third person open world game with a high tech theme in general. You know, sometimes are like that because that was the case with Dead Space 3.
Yeah.
It said Dead Space 3. If it didn't have Dead Space's name on there,
it would
be a heck of a lot more popular than it turned out to be.
But you have that expectation of the name.
Yeah.
You know, from two previous amazing games, and then you get that, and you're like, well, that's different.
Because Dead Space 3 was not as survival horror. It was more action-packed shooter.
So if it would have been just a... And that's what I loved about Assassin's Creed is because it started off as a offshoot of Prince of Persia. But then they decided, you know what, let's just do a new thing instead of having that name and that, you know, expectation of Prince of Persia on it. And I like it when things break off like that.
Yeah.
You know, if we could have, you know, like if, Benicio del Toro's character, DJ. You know, he was a slicer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine a Star Wars game where you're like a tech-savvy slicer. Mm-hmm. You're not a named character. You don't run into any, but, you know, you could do, there are things to do with it.
Yeah.
If they just take the chance, but they're not willing to take the chance because it costs a lot of money to make a video game.
Costs a lot of money to make a video game, yet the Activision Blizzard CFO gets $15 million just for taking the job and gets a $900,000 salary.
Yeah,
you know, take the. I wish more game companies, instead of playing it safe all the time, take more chances. Yeah, I know new IPs are hard.
It's how I feel about Sega right now.
They let the indies do that, and then they buy the indies when it becomes successful.
It's like me with Sega right now. Sega, like the issue I had with Virtua Fighter, they've been sitting on 5 for dang near.
How long?
A while, but eight, 9 years. I mean, everybody else has got another number in their game, but they still, Virtua Fighter still stuck on 5. They don't want to make another, they don't want to make 6. Even though there's a big, big crowd base who wants 6, they won't do it because Sega won't take the chance. They're more than happy to just put old existing IPs in other games like they did in Yakuza.
Yeah.
They do it like that.
I can play my Space Harrier in Yakuza. Well, okay, great.
They don't want to take a chance on, they don't want to take chances anymore.
No. I don't mind sequels, but like when we're so saturated with numbered sequels, right?
Yeah.
Hitman 2's fun. It's a continuation of what I liked in Hitman.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine having another IP that's like something new. Mm-hmm. That would be interesting.
Yeah.
You know, like if you look at, I'm curious on like 2018, all the games that came out last year, how many were sequels? How many were new IPs?
Mm.
You know, I could probably tell you which ones outweighed the others.
2018?
Yeah.
Let's see.
You know, I'm looking forward to, at the end of next week, Resident Evil.
Resident Evil 2. Remake of 2.
Reimagining of...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's not quite a remake.
It's not a remake.
It's a reimagining.
Reimagining.
I would say.
I got to get the definition out.
But, it's still a sequel of, or a reimagining of a sequel. Mm-hmm. And, all right, you know, I like playing in a world. I like playing in a world, you know, yeah. that I'm used to. But you could do things in there that aren't just sequels. They're just yeah. in that universe. You know, you could make a Resident Evil game that isn't a numbered game. It's just in a, you know, without dealing with. That's why 7 was interesting. You know, mm-hmm. it.
See, I picked that up, by the way.
7 was really, really good.
I'm just waiting for the price to drop on the gold edition. The gold edition? All the DLC added.
Yeah. But, you know, then at the end, you know, they've got, you know, old familiar.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, a new IP or just a way of doing things where it's not just so sequel heavy,
mm-hmm.
doing things in the world are interesting. I think of Munch's Odyssey. You know, it's okay. not, you know, Abe's Odyssey 3. It's in the Oddworld universe, but it's mm-hmm. its own, you know, it's a different thing. I don't know. There's ways of doing things that I would have done differently, and I would love to have a Star Wars game.
Just before we go here.
Yeah.
The
but I'm not going to get one.
The Atlas servers didn't get hacked, but somebody was able
to... So all two people's identities are safe.
Somebody was able to get into the, into like a dev... account.
Oh, really?
And so they started spawning whales and airplanes and tanks and all this other stuff during the game. They had to roll back the updates.
Could you imagine just like whale spawning?
Well, whales is one thing because it's a pirate game, but having airplanes and tanks fall out of nowhere,
that would be kind of cool.
Was a little weird.
Yarmy, what the heck?
This just suddenly happened. Actually, this next thing just happened. Well, they followed it at 125. So. The YouTube channel Machinima.
Yeah, they wiped out everything.
Yeah, the entire channel went to private now, and it looks like all the videos are now gone.
Yes.
Wow.
One of the guys from I follow on Twitter, Scott Bromley from Lucasfilm, he was talking about like, yeah, years of his work that wasn't hosted on that site, just gone. He's like, back up everything. You know, the internet you may think is forever, but, you know,
no,
you're not. At the whims of someone else. You know,
yeah. They were bought out. Well, they were bought because whoever owned them previous had gotten bought. And I don't necessarily have time to go through the whole thing, but they said we're focused on creating new content with the Machinima team, which will be distributed on new channels to be announced in the coming months. In the meantime, the Machinima network of creator channels continues to showcase the talents of the network. As part of this focus on new content, we have pivoted from distributing content on a handful of legacy-operated channels. Yeah. So here, I'm going to post this into the chat room so that Rogue can take a look at it. There you go. Anyway, that is going to have to wrap it up for us. We have got to go. Thanks, everybody, for joining us in the chat room. Anthony, I'll talk to you later. Thanks for everybody who grabs a star each week from iTunes. We appreciate it. Check out our Discord. Check out our Steam channel, our YouTube channel. You've got our Twitch channel that you're watching now. We're on Xbox and Steam, and we're on PS4. We're everywhere. But I want to thank everybody. Have a great week. We will see you next Saturday. Here is music from My Time at Portia. Have a great one.